Good morning, church. We're at that point in our service when we focus on the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to help focus our hearts this morning on the communion, I'd like to read a passage from Matthew chapter 18, reading from verse 21 to verse 35. But before we do so, let's go to our God and Father in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we come before you this morning because you are God. And as we bow our hearts before you, Lord, giving thanks for all the goodness, for your incredible blessings, we pray, Father, that you'll still our hearts this morning. Help us, Father, to give to you as you are, as the great God and King, to free our minds from everything that hinders and prepare our hearts to receive the message that you have prepared in advance for us, so that we can leave here not the same way we came, but to go forth being that man and woman that you have called us to be. Please be with me as well as I share your message, Lord God. Help me to rely on your spirit and to deliver it as you would have me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. We serve an incredible God. Amen. A God who is very generous. A God who is very forgiving. And amen for forgiveness. Yes? Just show of hands. How many of you love forgiveness? I know I mess up all the time, man, and so I love it, you know? Another show of hands. How many of you love to give forgiveness? Not as much. Not as much. It's not an easy thing, is it? It's not an easy thing. And that is what I'd like to talk about today. Because at the heart of the communion, at the heart of the cross, is that act of forgiveness. And so if the communion is going to mean something to each and every one of us, we've got to have a good grasp, an understanding, and an appreciation for forgiveness. So let's read Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35 together. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Whew. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay you back everything. The servant master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and sister from the heart. An intense passage. I think we could just read that or we could end right there and finish service. Because it's very self-explanatory. But here you see Peter asking Jesus a question. And we're going to look at this passage to see just God's expectation for each and every one of us when it comes to this act of forgiveness. Here we see Peter asking Jesus at the beginning of the passage, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Where did that question come from? You know, I'm going to just back up just a little bit just to give some context to why Peter asked this question. If you look in the Bible, back to the beginning of Matthew chapter 18, you'll notice Jesus was talking to the disciples about forgiveness, about how we should treat one another. And in verse 5, Jesus mentioned just how bad it will be for anyone who causes a believer to sin. Meaning, don't be an instrument of sin. Because every single one of you is special to God. And sin separates us from God. And so we're going to make sure that we're not instruments of sin, but instruments of righteousness. Amen? In verse 7 of chapter 18, he continued by teaching the disciples just how radical they need to deal with sin in their lives. We live in a world that plays with sin, where we become numb to sin, where people will do wrong and other people laugh about it. But you see in the scriptures here, Jesus teaches something completely different. He said, listen, if your eye causes you to sin, in verse 7, he said, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to go to hell with two. And so he taught them just, you got to be radical about sin. And then in verse 10, he went on to teach them about how to treat believers when they sin. Because we're human, amen? We're going to mess up. When two irons meet, you're going to have sparks. And so he was treating, how do you deal with those sparks when it happens? And he showed them a plan. 3-step plan to restore your brother or sister when they sin. 4-step if they choose not to listen. And so he was explaining all that this is how we need to deal with each other, especially when it comes to sin. And so Peter then went on to ask, so what about if we have a brother or sister who just keeps sinning? How many times should I forgive this person? And so that is where the question was coming from. 7 times? You see, back in the days, the rabbis used to teach that when it comes to forgiveness, we should forgive 3 times. But Peter bumped the number up because, you know, from everything that he had seen about Jesus was very gracious and merciful. So he figured 3 was not enough. So he doubled it. And he went to 7. More than double. And said, 7 times? And so Jesus answered and said, no, not 7. But 70 times, 7 times. Just to show, Jesus wanted to make a point here. And he went to the parable to show you can't put a number on it. And so he went into the parable of just how we need to be. And so here we see this man in a familiar situation. He owed money. How many of us owe money in here? Yeah, we all owe debt, you know, in some way, shape, or form, you know. This guy owed money, but he didn't just owe money. He owed a lot of money. And the time for paying debt had come. And the king said, you know, you owe me 10,000 denarii and 10,000 guys. Let's look at it this way. It's a lot. Okay? And the king said, it's time to pay up. And believe me, it's back in those days, just like today, it is a serious thing when you owe and you can't pay. Because we know what it is when we owe debt and we can't pay right now. If I can't pay my bills, I'm going to have the agencies calling me, you know. They're going to hand my account over to collection agency. And they'll call you at work, even like work wasn't stressful enough. They're going to knock on your door. Your credit going to get messed up. And it was the same with this guy. You see, back in the day when you owed money, your debtor could literally seize you as an individual and force you to go and work as a slave until you pay off the debt. They could not only just seize you, they could seize your wife, your children, and everything that you owed, and sell them to repay the debt. Now just think about that. Let's just think about that for a sec. That's intense, isn't it? Think about your family, your loved one. You know, that little boy, that little girl you've been cherishing since childbirth till now. That wife you love so much, you know, that brother, that sister, and they're having to be sold. It's a serious thing. And this is exactly what this guy was facing. And so the king said, pay up. And his response was like, I don't have it. He was like, what? Go sell this guy and his family to repay everything. And instead, the scripture said the guy fell prostrate before the king and said, please, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. And what happened after was just amazing. It said the king gave him 3 months to pay the debt. Was that what your Bible said? No. It said the king canceled the debt. 10,000. And I'm thinking, wow. I'd like to have a king like that to deal with. Just imagine, you know, a lot of us, we got debt. Like me, I got a mortgage, man, and it's bigger than me and my family. And it's tough. You know, we got to be working hard trying to pay, you know. I'm wondering if I should go to my mortgage company and say, hey, please have patience with me. You think they'll cancel my debt? I don't think so. They would. They'd sell my house and put me and my kids out nicely outside, you know. Because the law is on their side. But this king, he showed such compassion. He didn't have to. The law was on his side. The law of the day said, I could sell this man. I could sell him, his family, his cat, his dog, and pay off the debt. And he showed him compassion. And he canceled it and let him go. Just imagine. And this guy walked out free. And you would think that this guy would be so elated, he'd be jumping, celebrating and everything. And I'd like to think he was. But he said when he went out, he found another guy who owed him 100 denarii. Now, a denarii compared to talents, it was like $100 bills compared to pennies. A guy owed him 100 pennies. And his response to this guy was equally amazing. The scripture said he grabbed the guy and put a UFC lock on his throat. Pay me back what you owe me. And the guy used the very words he used in relation to the king. And he said, I beg you, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. And he was like, no, no, no. And he called the jailers and had this guy thrown into prison till he could pay back all he owed. That's distressing, isn't it? And it's so easy for us to think about this guy and think, he was a wicked man. And he was. But let's think about where this guy's coming from. Maybe he had an excuse. This guy was under a lot of stress not too long ago. Just think about just the thought of having your family snatched away from you. This guy's entire life, I think, just flashed before his eyes. I'm going to lose my wife, my kids, my house, everything. And so you can see this guy leaving, even though pardoned, being grateful for being pardoned, But leaving in his heart saying, listen, I am never going to let that happen to me or my family again. Can you relate, church? Because we don't want that happening to our kids. We don't want somebody kicking us out of our house. We don't want our credits destroyed. We don't want these adverse events that happen to us. And can't see him leaving and saying, you know, I'm going to do everything. And so a part of his plan was, I'm going to collect from everybody who owes me. And it just so happened this poor soul was coming along. And he got the brunt of it. And the thing is this, you see, there's nothing wrong with wanting to protect yourself or your family from harm or adverse effects of life. But you should never, ever, ever forget where you're coming from and what God has done for you. Because just like him, the servant, he too was in a really bad state. And someone had to forgive his debt so that he could carry on. And the very things that he feared from it for himself, losing, going to prison, maybe losing wife, losing child, he went out and he forgot. I don't know if he forgot intentionally or it was just the stress of the whole event, but he forgot. And the very thing that he didn't want to happen to him, he did to somebody else. And there's a golden rule, we know it. Do to others as you'd like them do to you. It said when the king heard, he was distressed. And rightly so. Because there was an expectation that the same way that I've been to you, you should also be to others. But the guy wasn't thinking about that at the time. He threw the man in prison, and we know the story after that. The king ordered him to be thrown in jail until he could pay back all he owed. You see, the thing is, brothers and sisters, there's an expectation from God that the same way that we have been treated in life, that we treat others. It's not an option. It's an expectation. It doesn't matter what has happened to us in life. And different things have happened to us. And it's not all nice. Sometimes some really bad things have happened to us. People taking advantage of you. On the job. You know, you see people moving ahead of you even though you have worked so hard, and it's hard to take. You may be at home with a spouse who you think is just not loving. And you're giving so much of yourself and he's not giving in return. Maybe you have your kids who you have nurtured from birth and loved and cuddled and spent on, and then now they're standing up and they're back talking you. It's tough. Maybe you're harshly treated in different ways. And sometimes when these things happen, the first thing for us to do is what? To retaliate. To make a decision that, listen man, no more of this. I'm not going to be taking any more treatment like this. I'm going to protect myself. I am not a doormat. I am a person. But even as we make plans to protect our own hearts and lives from mistreatment, we got to remember where we're coming from. We got to remember that when God called us, we weren't all rosy. We weren't perfect. As a matter of fact, we were quite the opposite. If God was here right now and he asked, who would like their life, their entire life, to be displayed on this screen? Which one of you would volunteer? Oh, we got one person. I know I wouldn't want mine. Because I know it wasn't pretty. I did a lot of bad things. And I know most of us in here like that. And so we got to remember these things. And when we did it, we wanted forgiveness. And even as disciples, we beg God forgiveness every day. And even sometimes when we don't beg for it, we receive it. And so we should not forget where we're coming from. It doesn't matter what has happened to us. It doesn't matter to what degree. God's expectation is that we extend forgiveness because He has extended it to us. Amen? And so this is not an option for us. And so if we as disciples are going to learn how to forgive, there are a couple things that we got to understand. And the first one is that forgiveness takes sacrifice. Forgiveness takes sacrifice. You see, this man, he transgressed. He owed a lot of money. And he had to pay, he needed to pay back this money. And the king had the option, as mentioned earlier. The law was on his side. He could have thrown this guy in prison to get his money back. It's not an easy thing to lose 10,000. Even today. You know how long it would take me to save 10,000? I've been trying to do that for a long time. And every time, you know, it goes up like this in the bank, then something happens and it goes down like that. And you try again, you get a little bonus, and then it goes up and then something comes and it just goes right back down. It's hard. And then in kindness to lend somebody 10,000 and then to not get it back. Whew! That's tough. But this king had an option. He could have thrown this guy in prison, destroyed his life, separated his family, destroyed maybe even this man's faith in anything eternal. But the king chose not to do it in mercy. He chose not. He chose to take the loss. He chose to lose 10,000. So this guy could be better off. You see, sacrificing on behalf of others is not a natural thing. Who find it easy to sacrifice? Maybe for your kids. Hey, it's my flesh and blood. It's easy to sacrifice. But what about for your brother? Well, what about his family? Let them sacrifice for him. That's why we have families. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It is not easy to sacrifice. But God expects that of us. Because that is what He has done for us. It's an expectation. Because you see, that is what God has done for us. So as followers, people who profess to follow Christ, the expectation is that we also make sacrifice on behalf of others. God is not calling us to write off $10,000. You know, the sacrifice that God's expecting from us, it's not always monetary. You may be called upon to make a sacrifice by even accepting the wrong to avoid a quarrel. You see, unity in the body is everything. And the Bible teaches in Corinthians that sometimes we have to be willing to accept the wrong just to keep that unity. To keep the unity in the family. You may not be at fault, but just to keep the peace, you may be called upon to accept the wrong. To say, you know what? To apologize first, even though you weren't the guilty party. And it's not that you're going to leave the situation there, but you're just building the right environment so that the situation can be dealt with in a correct way. Because when we retaliate, we say things that we can't take back. Sometimes hurtful words that we may go back and apologize for, but the damage is already done. Sometimes we're called to make that sort of sacrifice, accept the wrong. Sometimes we're called to put aside some leisure time, some sleep to help a brother or sister. Listen, man, I look forward to Saturdays, you know. That's my favorite day of the week. It's the only day I don't have to get up at 5:30. Every day I get up at 5:30, you know, to go to work.
My wife sometimes gets up before me and she exercises and stuff, you know, and I'm looking at her like, oh gosh, I don't want to do that. And on a Saturday morning, I look forward to that. And just as an example, just this Saturday, a bunch of us had to make a sacrifice to help out another sister and brother. You know, our sister Rose needed to move. And she chose Saturday. Amen, sis. No worries. I had to get up early. You know? And there was calling other brothers, you know, hey, Granville didn't even answer his phone. Like, what Chris doing calling me on a Saturday morning? But then he called me back, you know, being the righteous brother he is, and he said, yeah, don't feel well enough, but amen, brother. Amen, brother. And we went. A bunch of us went. Giselle was there. Youngest sister in the church, and I think she was the only woman there up to the time I left. Sometimes we have to give up. Mahavir was there. You know, sometimes we have to make sacrifices just to help each other. And let me tell you, that sister was encouraged. She's got a young baby. Just think if she had to do all that by herself. Pedro was there. Even Perry was carrying things down the stairs, man. It was awesome. You know, sometimes we call to make sacrifice to extend ourselves in spending time with a brother or sister who may be struggling in their faith, who just need somebody to walk with for a little while, just to help them to get back on their feet. It's going to take sacrifice to do that, because we got other things planned for our lives. But God expects that of us. It takes sacrifice to serve in other areas in the church that is not fun. Like in children's church. Who here loves to serve in children's church? I got kids, you know, and I don't like serving in children's church. But I do. I made a sacrifice. How about setting up chairs? How about go looking for a brother or sister who's not here today? Look around. Who's missing? It takes sacrifice to do that. It takes sacrifice to even give on a Sunday, to give sacrificially. You may think, you know, my math's not adding up. I'm in the red. I can't give. But it's our sacrifice financially that keeps the church going. And it's not just when we talk about the church, we're not just talking about a building here, which it does help to do that. We're talking about even meeting the needs of those amongst us. And even those who are not among us. Just this past week we heard of a brother, another evangelist from another church. Somebody I know personally. Some of you may as well. Damien Jean-Baptiste. He's been diagnosed with liver cancer. This was one brother who was up and about. A brother who impacted the lives of thousands, including myself and my wife. He helped us get married. I didn't have any hopes of getting married. This brother helps us. And he's now struggling, battling for his life in the U.S. with liver cancer. And he needed help because, believe it or not, the treatment that he needed, the bill cost $100,000. And I don't know why that is, but it just is. That the things that we need to help us always seem to be the most expensive. And he needed help. Where do you think that help's coming from? From your own contributions. The Ottawa church volunteered to make a contribution to help this brother along. We are called to make sacrifices. Not because it's a good thing to do, but it's the godly thing to do. Amen? And as followers, we are expected to make those sacrifices every day. And it may not just be one time. Jesus has already done it 3 times. No. Every day, because that is what God has done for us. That's what the communion is all about. Every week we come and we bow our heads and our hearts and we think about what God has done for us through Jesus. You remember? We give thanks to God for that, because we serve a gracious God. Amen. That's what it says in Daniel 9 verse 9. Our God is merciful and forgiving. He forgives completely. But for God to forgive us our transgression, two things have to happen. A life must be taken as a substitute. That's what the Bible teaches. Read it. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. There can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And the second, and we don't want our own blood shed for our sins. Amen? You know, we don't. We want a chance. We want forgiveness. And that's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. He sent somebody else in our place to pay a price that we couldn't pay or didn't want to. And the second thing is that the sinner must come to God's sacrifice in a spirit of repentance and faith. We gotta change. When somebody does something like that, there's an expectation. It demands a response. And the response got to be one of faith and obedience. That is what God expects from us. That we make sacrifice for others. And it's not easy. It is not. But it's an expectation. And my question this morning is, how willing are you to sacrifice on behalf of others? And I'm not talking about your close family. And I'm not talking about your best friend. I'm talking about even a brother or sister that you're not close to. Or even a neighbor who you hardly talk to. It's not an option. It's an expectation. Which leads me to my second point. Forgiveness comes with responsibility. Forgiveness comes with responsibility. You see, there was an expectation from the king in regards to the servant and his response. He wrote off 10 grand, and the expectation from this king was that this man also do the same to others. The king never mentioned that to him as an expectation. It was expected. And when he went out and he didn't do the same, the king was greatly distressed. He was greatly bothered by that. You see, brothers, sisters, and friends, there's something we got to realize. God is not here with us like our supervisor is in the flesh. And so, you know, our response to him is different than how we respond to our supervisor. They're there every day looking over your shoulder, kind of. And so you make sure you go to work early. I hope you are. Because if you're not, that's not godly. And when you're on the job, that you're giving your best. You're not surfing the net. You know, and looking at young and reckless and different kind of movies. Because that's not godly either. Or looking at things you ought not to. But we act the way we need to act there because somebody's there looking. You see, every single thing that God has done for us through Christ, there's an expectation that we follow. Just like at work they expect you to follow, God expects us to follow too. Everything Jesus has done, the expectation is that you imitate. Because you see, in Christ, the scripture teach, we're all new creations. And if you're not a Christian this morning, God is reaching out to you because he wants you to be a new creation as well. Because God's got plans for your life. Amen? There are people there whom you can impact. People who I or others here may never meet. But because of changes made in your life, when you talk to them about God, they listen to you because they know you. They don't know me. God is reaching out to you as well. And he expects you to follow what his word says. Everything Jesus taught was for us to imitate. It's a mentoring process. New attitudes, new behavior. And we see that in scriptures. If you take a look, and you don't have to turn there, John 13, 14. Jesus taught his disciples, no, when you wash their feet. You remember that? John 13, 14. Know that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also should do what? Wash one another's feet. I've set an example for you to follow. John 13, 34. As I have loved you, so you must do what? Love one another. I've set an example for you to follow. John 15:12. Love others, each other, as I have loved you. Matthew 10:8. As he sent the disciples out, the 12 and the 72, what did he say to them? Freely you have received, freely give. Every single thing that God has done is an example for us to follow. And the question is, how much have you been holding to the teachings of God this morning? How much have you been forgiven? How much have you been sacrificing? You see, God's forgiveness of us demands that we forgive others. It's not just a good thing. It's not just something that we take for ourselves and then we move on and we think, hey, I'm just more blessed than somebody else. That is not it. You see, for the communion to really mean something, we've got to internalize it and we got to imitate the very things that God has done for each and every one of us. Has God been helping you in areas? Help others in the same areas. Has God been kind to you in areas? Be kind to others in others. Has God used other people to help you? Extend yourself on behalf of others. It doesn't matter what it is. The expectation is imitate. And we see that in the king's response. He didn't care what this guy's situation was. He said, you know what? I did this for you. You should have had it on your heart to do it for others. It is hard. It is hard. It's easy for me to stand here and talk about imitating. It's very easy. But it's also convicting because I know I have a long way to go in that area. Forgiving is not the easiest thing for me. You see, because it's easier for me to see the wrong in you than in myself. And I know I'm not alone in that. But we got to train ourselves to be godly. Amen? Amen. Paul talked about taking every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. He also teaches us in Peter just how we are to respond when others respond in an unkind way towards us. And this is the last scripture that we'll look at. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. With forgiveness comes responsibility. In chapter 2, verse 21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. You see, Jesus didn't just teach about being a peacemaker. He lived it. And his expectation for every single one of us that call Jesus our Lord is that we do the same. If we turn over to, to chapter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so as we prepare to break the bread and drink the wine, let us think deeply in our hearts. How much am I imitating Christ in this act of forgiveness? And if we see that we're falling short in any area, in sacrificing,
and imitating. Let's make decisions in our hearts to change those. Because the extent to which we change it will tell the extent to how much we're actually imitating God. It doesn't matter what you think. It just is. And that's what the scripture teaches in John. This is how we know that we're in him. Whoever calls Jesus Lord, they must walk as he did. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. In taking the time week after week, Lord God, to remind us of the way that we ought to go. And Father, even as we bow our hearts and our heads to prepare, Lord, for taking the communion, we're reminded of just how much Jesus has done for us. We're reminded of the way that he lived. We're reminded of the things that he taught, the example that he set. And we're challenged, Father, because we know it's not easy. Where we live in a society, Father, where righteousness is not the norm. But I know your expectation is that we be different, that we be the light of this world. And I pray that you'll help us, Father, to imitate Christ in this great act of forgiveness, in extending ourselves on behalf of others, in sacrificing so that others can come to know you, in extending ourselves so that we can build the faith of our brothers. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your words. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.